and coach that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
And this is the whopping episode number 200.
Two hunskies. Wow.
Two bills.
What? What are we doing?
I'm retired. I'm retired. Before we get into the antics, we have three albums that we're going to review today. We have Solar Power by Lord, Loving in Stereo by Jungle, and Never Enough, an EP by Disclosure, just to indulge ourselves a little bit, because it's episode 200 and we fucking deserve it, you assholes. Dan, what are your thoughts on doing 200 episodes with me? Sorry, this is Dan here. I deleted the episode, but...
Yeah. Let's get into the fun stuff and plugs and things like that when we do. I mixed my words because I got through PowerPort and my brain is dying. But let's get into new singles first because we have a new single that's also.
Yes, we have one. Yeah,
and then let's get into the blah blah Audio Face 200 before we get into the goodness of this week, because the Lord album's very controversial to say the least, right? So.
Things will be said. People will be bleeped. It's all good.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm looking
great
forward time. To it. We do have an indulging myself single. We have Hold Clear single by Kolsch.
Yes.
Artist I recommended a long time ago, and he released album last year that was fantastic. That was probably my favorite electronic album that came out. But he had two tracks that came out on Friday, Hold and Clear, and they were both very fantastic tracks.
Love them.
He went a little bit more into his older sound with these, kind of like his more techno house style of mixing and stuff, which I prefer. Like on his first album of 1977, and a couple of those tracks like Oma and Felix, and a couple others that I really enjoy. It's a little bit more kind of in that sound, which I'm A-okay with.
I liked Clear a little bit more. Hold was definitely like the lead single on it, like of course like a double side thing, but you know, Hold Clear similarly, the song Clear similarly had like a old school kind of thing, house kind of thing, but it's a little more ravey, like a little disco, had the little laser things in the background, and it has this really nice little string flourish, typical Kolsch thing, just adding a nice little touch of class there. But I really enjoyed that. It's a really good track overall.
Yes. Very glad that he is making music.
Yeah. Those are our singles this week. Usually we do new singles every single week. And please send some singles in as well, because we want people to, you know, really Audio Face be a two-way street. This is not just us hosting the show. This is the organics. And being out there is just like interacting with us is what we really like. But...
Yes.
Let us know what singles we do.
Well, depending on what happens. But.
Yeah, we need to do another comments episode, actually. It's been a minute.
Please.
If I wasn't producing Power Report this weekend, I would definitely do like a comments episode. Like, I would make this like a comments review thing that we'd do. I would have pre-produced that. But alas, things got busy. Anyways, for Audio Face 200, this is 200. How do I feel about doing episode 200? Exhausted. That I love the new song that just played for the intro, the kind of like updated version of the Audio Face song. It's a surprise to Sean. It's a surprise to Annie, who asked if it was done yet. It's a surprise to me because at the time of recording, it is not done yet. So we'll all just listen to it when it goes up. The interesting thing about Audio Face, if I would get like sappy a bit for like 2 seconds, is that it is out of all of the turbulence that has been since we started this podcast in like 2017.
April 2017 is when we did the last episode that one day we will show the world, and then in May of 17 is when we officially started.
Yeah. And Yeah, it's been a lot in our lives have changed. A lot in the world has changed since then. And a rock sort of has been doing this podcast throughout and kind of changing it and adapting it and upgrading it throughout. And also, even just like production wise, when I've taken breaks doing like streaming or taken breaks with like Power Report, which is coming back up and we'll talk about a little bit more in a moment too. This is, you know, just something that we've just kind of kept doing because it's meant to be like a, you know, obviously we're trying, we're giving our all here. This is like a show we care about, but it's also like something that we can kind of just do, not with minimal effort, but you know, like, you know.
Underachieving just, overachievers, you can tell with Dan still hasn't finished the fucking song, so.
But like, we can be sort of casual about it, and that's sort of like the brilliant thing about it is we can sort of play off of our existing friendship and that kind of dynamic and just talk about music in a fun way, which I really enjoy. So that I really like. I like modernizing this look of it because then we can kind of like, you know, adapt how AudioFish sort of shows on different platforms. Yes. Looks less like a 80s like CNN broadcast. Also shout out to Annie, who can be found on Instagram at Vinny_Versum. I'll leave the link to that in the description, but she helped like kind of lead the design effort for this like sort of refresh, not like a whole rebrand. Mm-hmm. Obviously like the logos looks about the same. Colors are moderately different, a little bit freshened up a little bit. Things are tuned up here and there. New cover's awesome. New cover photos were taken by Riley, who took the original cover photos actually for AudioFace. So he did a great job with these as well. The cover looks really awesome. And so I want to thank them for helping us with this rebrand. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what are your thoughts about Two Hundo?
I want less Jack Antonoff produced records. That's all I know. I want to review less Jack Antonoff produced records. But it's been a rock for all of us, and it's been really fun doing it. And that rebrand, the two was pretty fun to do with, and to actually go in and be like, hey, this is our stuff, our design, our photos and all that stuff. It's really cool to do that. And also because going and exploring new music and exploring new things that I wouldn't have, it would have took me a long time to find / if ever, and then to broaden my own horizons with it as well. And to bring that to the humans, to the masses, to the organics is also great, because the more good music in people's lives, the happier they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I've loved, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. I'm now just sort of like expected, oh, what music should we play? And I don't know if this happened to you as well, Sean. Like people just in your regular life just want to know what's the new music. We become those people like,
goddamn. Sort of, all right.
Yeah, it's like, I guess we've been elected this. But no, it's actually kind of like a blessing and an honor now that people like respect our music opinions, or at least like want to hear our takes enough and call us out when we're wrong or not, too. So like that I appreciate. I like having that audience and that having feedback loop with that audience and having it be positive and full of growth and not like, you know, negative and like hateful cycles and shit like that I talk about in Power Report. But yeah, I love discovering new music all the time. I love keeping on top of all of this. And like, yeah, doing a service, because I do think like, yeah, everyone can be united by certain different kinds of music. Some music is also like bad and does a job of dividing people. But like also, it's just fun doing this every week. I'm getting into antics, all the shenanigans. Sometimes it gets a little more serious, of course. But like, yeah, love doing this podcast. 200 more Rick and Morty. But yeah, anyways, while we're plugging things, check out the 2021 AF playlist. Every year we keep together like a playlist of new music that we like as the year goes on. And we've been doing that this year and it is pretty great. So look at that in the video description or the podcast description. Check out the bonus episodes. People love, love, love the bonus episodes. We did one we're coming up on a year ago. We did one on Kendrick Lamar, who is just now making rumblings about making
almost a year ago. Jeez, it was.
Yeah. Just now making rumblings of his final album on with TDE, which we'll be talking about that news in a little bit later on, like in this episode. And
my favorite thing by the side note was when everybody's like, what the hell's TDE? I'm like, you don't know Top Dog Entertainment? Like, come on now. Jesus Christ, humans. It's like, is his last album ever? I'm like, just on this label.
Yeah, God. it inspires a lot of confidence for like media news literacy. But yeah, we did bonus episodes on Kendrick Lamar. We did bonus episodes on what am I trying to say here? We did bonus episodes on Daft Punk, on Disclosure, on MF Doom was a really popular one. Caro Caro Benito was one we did recently. So big artists, like little artists, indie ones, a whole bunch of them. And we're going to be doing a lot more soon, especially after this rebrand is done. We actually have a lot more time now to devote towards new episodes. So we'll be planning those bonus episodes soon. Check out those. Help grow Audio Face by going to Audio Face Pod on Twitter or Instagram, Audio Face Pod. Go to youtube.com/AudioFacePod where you might be watching this, where our channel is growing pretty well. And we are publishing new videos almost every single weekday. So all the engagement, the likes, comments, the shares, they really help to grow the podcast. So we really appreciate you doing so. And, on the other side of things that I do, Power Report, we did a new episode's political podcast. A lot of you might know me more from the political things, honestly, than the music things. That's fine. God bless. But, the music things, make sure I don't blow my brains out from the political things. We did a new episode on Afghanistan, and I talked to an Afghan like activist on a lot of what's going on there, and the way that U.S. media and a lot of the you know, people around the situation, the professionals, so-called professionals in the room, are really forgetting even very, very recent history around the region and how that's like coming back to haunt them. And then Bam and I then went through some of really funny clips throughout all the media and kind of joking about that and dissecting those from a laughing at them approach, but also from a very substantive approach as well. So definitely check that out. It's going to be up around the same time as this episode is, powerreport.world for all the links, or youtube.com/DanFromTheInternet. And lastly, I thanked Riley, I thanked Annie, but every episode I thank Peter. At Dead Music Productions, Dead Music 666, for whipping up and mastering these episodes in a jiffy. So thank you very much, Peter. And with that, this is not the episode I host, so I'm going to be done now. Let's go into the news. Kendrick Lamar dropped a little bit of a bombshell over the week.
That's an understatement.
Not only announcing that he has a new album coming out, but kind of detailing where he is with his art, with his craft, and most importantly, with a label that he kind of came up with and brought up with, Los Angeles-based yes. Top Dog Entertainment. So yeah, he released a statement along with a website in a kind of cryptic manner, Oklama, whatever you want to call it. And there's a statement there. Sean, you have it, right?
Yeah, I got it right here. So states here, I spend most of my days with fleeting thoughts, writing, listening, and collecting old beach cruisers. The morning rides keep me on a hill of silence. By this side note, I was like, that's the most random thing ever, but whatever makes you happy, dog, it works.
Big LA vibes.
It's extreme LA vibes. I go months without a phone, I wish. Love, loss, and grief have disturbed my comfort zone, but the glimmers of God speak through my music and family. While the world around me evolves, I reflect on what matters the most. The life in which my words will land next. As I produce my final TDE album, I feel joy to have been a part of such a cultural imprint after 17 years. The struggles, the success, and most importantly, the brotherhood. May the Most High continue to use Top Dog as a vessel for candid creators as I continue to pursue my life's calling. There's beauty in completion and always faith in the unknown. Thank you for keeping me in your thoughts. I've prayed for you all. See you soon enough. And then Oklama, okay, llama. Whatever you want to say. I kind of want to say okay, llama, because it's fun. And then there's a little picture of Kendrick in the studio, all mysterious looking, and it's all dark, and there's just some lights in the background, because art.
Yeah, so super, lot to unpack there.
Nobody prayed for me.
Lot to unpack there.
A lot.
So firstly, new album, Kendrick's in album mode, y'all. So sometimes you don't get warnings for that. Strapping, so I'm glad baby. We have a notice for that. That's great. Secondly, also very good. Secondly, not very good, but like very interesting. I mean, like, I'll say it's very good that, like, you know, some album breakups in rap have been story to be a little rocky.
That's an understatement.
This one seems to be like, you know, publicly everything's on good terms, and it's like, you know, I wish everyone well, but like, I am on to do like a next thing over here, so God bless. It's his final album with TDE. He's not gonna be renewing his contract or anything, and there's been this kind of discourse online that I didn't really feel was productive, but now definitely is in the forefront, of like whether or not TDE is a dead label or not. And I find this discourse like kind of weird, but it was like, you know, in music discourse, because these are things that sometimes we talk about, sometimes we don't. But now it kind of is there because
Kendrick is their probably their biggest is their biggest star on TDE.
Yeah, is their biggest. Isaiah Rashad just dropped their dropped his project. Well received. Well received. We have yet to see really like chart major success from that though. SZA is supposed to be dropping something, and I think she's gone too because she's talked about some things with TDE that she hasn't liked that much. And then we go to Kendrick, who is the biggest on the label, and you have others like Schoolboy Q, J-Rock, Absol,
so other good artists, but nobody who's going to chart nearly as much as Kendrick.
Nor they really have like an active discography necessarily. So, no. And it's unfortunate because they're all, like you said, Sean, great artists.
They're all fantastic. They're all, and they're all of their albums that they've previously released, we've tend to enjoy too.
Yeah. TDE CEO Anthony Tiffith, aka Anthony Top Dog Tiffith, shared a note on Instagram, and it's literally like, screenshotted from screenshotted from like a screenshot because you can see the grid still on there. Anyways,
oh my
it says,
God. It's just brilliant.
The whole goal when we started this thing was to make music, make money, and make history. We did these things 10 times over and then some. TDE and its artists have provided a way to end generational curses that we were all personally born into over the last 17 years in this business. With this being Dot's last album on TDE, this is more of a victory lap, a celebration. I know he will be successful in whatever it is he decides to do and will have our full support. As for Top Dog Entertainment, we will continue to grow, develop, and give artists the platform to expand into whatever way they choose. On heart, honor, respect, Top Dog. And so with that, I'll just say, go ahead.
I think going forward, I think Top Dog can be a avenue for younger artists and stuff to get up into the ranks, but I don't think it's going to be an end label, if that makes any sense. So like almost like an underground, like I wouldn't say underground, but almost like an indie-ish label for kind of smaller hip-hop rap artists and stuff to get through, because they do have decent distribution and stuff, but they aren't one that you're going to want to spend your career with. You know, it's like you don't want to retire at SpaceX. You want to have somewhere that gives you an actual retirement shit. So you used to go there when you're young, get experience, and then you go somewhere else.
I kind of get that as well, but also in TDE's defense, I'm not just saying this because like I have a really old ass TDE sweater or anything, and like the label or whatever. But like, most artists go for independence ultimately. Like they go, they build their shit, they get big, and so like, I mean, like you almost got to the point where Jay-Z was like, "Fuck it, I want my own streaming service," and that was like we learned that okay, you can't take it that far.
You can't do that.
Yeah, but
you can buy the NFL, but you can't buy a streaming service.
Bars. Okay. So like that is, it's kind of an inevitability, and at least it's happening on good terms. But yeah, I think like usual, it is important for TDE to fill itself with new talent at this point, and fast, and they have to be bangers. It's not like TDE, especially because it's happening on like mostly good terms, and there's some like, you know, there's stuff with labels, but there's stuff with all labels that you hear about. Not to discredit it, but to say that, like, it's something you calculate when you're an artist and you think, wow, this is a label with some really major credibility and they really believe in me. I might, like, take that seriously and consider having them or, like, signing with them. Maybe I do, like, a two-record, three-record deal with them, and hopefully that, like, sort of supercharges me up a little bit. I think that isn't without the... away from the frame of boundary for a lot of people, for a lot of artists to consider it, really.
Yeah, and another thing too is what you said going on, what you said previously, a lot of artists and stuff like to go, especially recently, like to go on their own. They like to now have full control, creative control of whatever they want to make. And Kendrick is a real artist. He likes to make as much art and everything as he wants to do. So not having, I mean, TDE isn't a terrible label or anything, but not having that pressure and stuff, or, you know, having that contract of you have to make a certain amount of stuff to be able to grant you the freedom to be able to roam and do whatever you want is very important for a lot of artists. So it's going to be interesting to see what Kendrick does after this release, and see if he goes with another label or if he goes independent after. And then that will have, I think, a big sway in a lot of hip hop, rap, trap artists and stuff, and for years to come, because he has such a like gravitational pull of him because he's such a big artist. Others can get ideas from him and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, Kendrick's superstar level. He can do fashion. He can do art galleries. Sky is the limit for him. And so it's really what he decides he wants to do. Last point on this, we did a Kendrick Lamar bonus episode, Audio Face 156 bonus. You can check it out wherever you get podcasts or on youtube.com/audiofacepod.
156 bonus, almost a year ago. Jesus Christ. We were talking about that a year ago saying, you know what, we should probably do a bonus episode. Just have it here in case Kendrick releases some shit a year later, huh?
Yeah, a year later at the ready, just at the random, it could happen. That's how music industry works. But speaking of big releases, Sean, host this thing.
Gotcha. So, first album review of the day brought to you up Gary's Way. Bing. It's Solar Power by Lorde. 12 songs, 43 minutes long. Her third LP after 2017's Melodrama, which we both absolutely fucking adore that record. Really enjoyed it.
Pure Heroine, which like caught her on the scene. Heroine. She was really like the anti-pop queen of the 2010s, essentially.
Yes, definitely. Pure Heroine just like exploded her onto the scene right away when she was quite young too in 2013. And then Melodrama about 4 or 5 years after that, more of almost like a breakup type record, but it had a lot of great sounds and great substance in it throughout. And this album,
I just want to say really fast, like just to contextualize, because it's been a minute, like a lot of Lorde's, like the things people liked about Lorde are the things people like about Billie Eilish, how like she's a really major pop star, but like musicality was just far superior to most pop that you got at the time.
100%.
But also the lyrics themselves were very subversive. Her hit song Royals was, I mean, like, yeah, instrumentally very different from what was happening at the time. It kind of fits in, but like mostly very different. And it was just talking about how me and my friends are just going to be like kind of average, more or less. We'll never be royals. We'll never have all the fancy things. We can like aspire to all them, but like it won't. These sort of like everyday person messages in, you know, hyper stardom pop music, where you usually get these exaggerations of, you know, life, you know, see also all of trap. Lorde was presented someone who's like down to earth, kind of like normal. And in the lead up to this album, she like went off the grid, took a piano, went to New Zealand, and you can kind of see that like she took a lot more of an acoustic method along
for
with
sure.
Moving with some of her for some of her producers, let's say.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely way stripped back approach within everything. It's a different sound for her, which I can appreciate because, you know, as somebody who's been a big pop artist for almost nearly a decade, especially has been really like it's been a sought out record, you have a lot of pressure on you to either like go back to your sound, revert it, or to try and push yourself forward as an artist. So you're always caught in this awkward thing too when you're that big. Granted, her sophomore record was just incredible, but with Solar Power, it's stripped back, it takes a step back, and it looks a little bit more introspective onto things. Another Jack Antonoff produced record. He produced her second record, which is actually his first record that he had full producer control, which is interesting. But anyways, how he's like been all over the place, especially this last year and this year, all over these pop artist records, but more on that later. Starting off, it starts off with The Path, and you can hear it right away where it's like, whoa, this is different compared to what we've had with Lorde from before. I'm in a cast at the museum gala fork in my purse to take home. Tell my mother that supermodels all dancing round a pharaoh's tomb. Now if you're looking for vocals are fantastic. I love the layering of it and everything. Like that's still on point. Her lyrics and everything are still great. And that was a decent opening track to kind of get you into the idea of how it is. It's going to be slower. It's going to be more acoustic, a little bit airy and stuff. I was like, okay, let's kind of see what happens. And we got that when we heard the single too a few months ago. We're both like, okay, well, let's hear it in the context of this record and then really like dive into it from there. After that, then you get solar power is, you know, California, I can't speak words. Same thing, it's that acoustic. I never, like, this track was decent, like, especially towards the end, I thought, because it picked up a little bit on it. It's like, okay, it like grows into this nice track and stuff.
I very much liked its evolution, for sure.
Exactly, because I think the issue I had with The Path and a bunch of the songs throughout this album is it picks a pace and it stays at that pace. There aren't too many that kind of go up and down. There are a little bits here or there, but sometimes it could just be a bit flat. But Solar Power is on those nice ones where it just blooms into this gorgeous song into it. I'm like, okay, I really enjoy that one. And then after that, you have California, which then this is when, for me, I start to get a little worried with it because it just gets really boring to me. And then it almost sounds like Lord tried to make a Lana Del Rey track. It's just like, it kind of sounds similar to that, which then gets into the next song, Stone at the Nail Salon, which sounds almost identical to Wild at Heart by Lana Del Rey. That came out earlier this chemtrails with the Camp Club.
It's time to cool down wherever that leads. Cause all the music you loved at 16, you'll grow out of. Escaped all the ashes, ran into the dark, and it made me wild, wild, wild at heart. The cameras had flashes, they caused the car crashes, but I'm not a star.
I listened to this track, I had to stop, and I'm like, am I going crazy? Because this intro sounds almost exactly the same. It's just slowed down in Alana's version, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? That's when I had to stop, and I was like, pause for a sec.
I'm so happy we do this podcast, because I was in my head like, okay, this middle part of the album, not just like a couple songs, and like the middle part of the album sounds very, very Lana Del Rey like, and I'm like, I don't know if it's just like sexist Hotep Dan approaches with the dyed hair, or like is it like or is it some other kind of like thing? But like, no, it's, yeah, the songs just do sound very, very similar. And I was like, Annie, to my credit, I was kind of a naysayer, because Solar Power came out as a single, and Annie, friend of the show, Kanye aficionado, Ripperoni, more on that later, is like going to, like, she was saying that, I don't know, I'm getting, like, a very dreary Lana vibes from Lord. And I was like, I don't know, this is the first single, gotta wait to hear the whole thing. That's what I usually always say. But, like, Annie nailed that, honestly. Like,
nailed it on the first track, because I didn't get it from Solar Power. I thought, okay, this is gonna be, like, a stripped back, almost like how Taylor Swift's Folklore came out, Nevermore, were kind of those, like, stripped back pop, between pop and indie. And I was like, okay, let's see how that goes. But then, like, that middle part of this record, I go, oh, God. It's not a look.
That's why she got dragged on Twitter. Like, it was, she commented kind of, like, slyly, like, maybe the album will grow on you, like, sweat face or whatever.
This ain't the Kina Limbs, okay? It doesn't, like, grow on you after years and years, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, this album is incredible. But it just took, you know, six acid trips and a six-pack of Kolsch to figure out what the hell Tom York was trying to say. I'm going to dive into my hating on Jack Antonoff's production on this year especially, because he makes the same fucking sound over and over again for the past year and a half. And I complained about it earlier this year a couple of times on his Bleachers record, on Lana's record, on some of the Taylor's stuff last year. And now, Lord, like, you hear it throughout it, where it's just, now you're going between these two artists and these sounds sound so similar. How do you, as a producer, not go in there and be like, oi, unless you're trying to make it do that and almost have like a cookie cutter thing in there, which is horrible. How do you not have the ear to figure it out when my dumbass can do that?
And yeah, like, you're quality controlling the album. You listen to it start to finish, and you like get to this middle part and you're like, these are fine songs in isolation, okay, even. Exactly. But like, it's just not what you would put together in an album this long. A 43-minute long album should from Lorde should be like easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl. Like, it should be totally
fine. It should flow. It should just like give you, it doesn't necessarily need to be bangers, because it could be like her stuff, like a Melodrama didn't have too many things in there that were like super radio friendly or whatnot. They were all fantastic tracks. But everything in there, it has a story, it flows well, it gives you like, it makes you look forward to the next track, the next one, to figure out exactly what the whole thing, what she wants to say within there. But then here it gets said at the very beginning, and then in that middle it just gets drowned out because it's just very lackadaisical.
Everything else, it's a lull. Yeah. I'll say it picks up around Mood Ring, one of the last singles, the very end.
Well, from the inside, plants and celebrity news, all the vitamins I consume. Let's fly somewhere eastern. I'll have what I need. Let's go. Please begin your sun salutations, Pluto and Scorpio generation.
And then you get something that, you know, similar to Solar Power, like kind of gets up there. And again, like, Lorde, you don't need to make upbeat music all the time at all. But like, it's...
That doesn't.
Variety is kind of like what we're asking for here. And there was such like little variety in the depth of the album, the most of the album. Like...
Yeah. Exactly.
It's bookended, really. Like the first, like Solar Power and then Mood Ring are like the big ones, essentially.
Yes.
And then you don't have anything in the middle, like none of the acoustic tracks like Stone of the Nail Salon, at least to me, or like Secrets from a Grove Scene at all, really like go up to that next level, unfortunately, I think, in their sound. And it sucks. Like, I think lyrically they're okay and they're like a
lyrically
little bit something
they're
there.
Fine.
Exactly. But without, but it's especially just... sorry, but especially without any sound difference, it's very much like Lana Del Rey.
It's very similar to that. And we had many issues with that on like with multitudes of their album earlier this year, Chemtrails of the Country Club. It was just not very well done. But if you go, like you said, you didn't need to make it up. She doesn't need to make upbeat songs all the time. If you look at her first album on Pure Heroine, after Royals, you have Ribs and Buzzcut Season, which is, Ribs is still my favorite Lorde song by far. But after Royals, you have two of those songs that are not very upbeat. They're really like introspective and pretty deep within there, and there isn't anything that's like super upbeat right after the track. So you don't she never has to do that, and she tends not to in a lot of her on those two records. But with this, it's just it's very disappointing, and I think Jack needs to go back to the drawing board and honestly take a break from doing a lot of production stuff, because you can now really, really hear issues within his own stuff. And I mean, I heard Lorde say stuff of Jack saying stuff too of, oh, Lorde really has morphed a lot of the production sound into that. I'm like, but you could always go in and say, hey, look at this, hey, this sounds a bit too similar to this or this or that, you know, and to try and change it up. That's what a producer's there supposed to do. You know, Dan cuts me off before I say something incriminating of myself or other things, or like we go and stop and we replay whatever we have to do, because that's what a good producer does. But when you're dumb and you just have this idea in your head, but you did that same idea for three other pop artists and then you make the same thing, it's just not, it's going to end up being bland.
Right.
I like to make my Metro Boomin comparison, because if you look at Metro Boomin, like he takes his long ass time between a lot of projects. Like he'll have a lot in a year and then he'll take like a year completely off and then he'll randomly come back in. He isn't like going crazy with a lot of production stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so that's always my big thing.
On the producer thing, just really fast, I would say that there's kind of an ethos right now that the job of a producer is to compliment the artist. But I think that's partially true, but also you have to tell the artist, like, hey, do something different. Like, hey, like, adjust your sound. Broaden it.
You're there as a second opinion.
Yes.
You're there to, you know, if Elon Musk had a yes man, you know, you're there as the no man.
Every good, like, institution needs a no guy, actually. It helps.
Honestly.
The time, of course, but, like, yes all the time is also, like, not a good thing either. But anyways... you know, Lorde can do better. There's a lot of potential here, but this one gave it a couple listens, still not quite feeling it other than a couple of songs. So, nah, sorry.
Yeah, and this, the thing that I'll give her credit for is she did have a different sound within herself. Within those three records are very different between all three. So I'll give you credit on that because we always do that on your face, no matter who it is. But Jack, no, fuck you. Stop producing stuff because your production sounds identical between three artists. That's bad. So kick your feet up and chill. Please. Right. And other female pop artists, don't recruit him, please, for God's sake.
Fucking seriously. Arbitrary Scale. This week. Right.
So yeah, we have a Arbitrary Scale. Dan's former coworkers' houses, because you know, we live in an era where we judge everybody by what houses they buy, by either, you know,
your political ideology is directly related to the size house you have, how many bedrooms, bathrooms, square footage.
Does it have two pools? Does it got a yard? Does it come with a maid? Like, you know, these are important questions we ask ourselves every day.
Koozie or nah, this is what Audio Face is all about. So koozie or cussy, this is what Audio Face is all about. On that, I feel very uncomfortable with this Arbitrary Scale. What do you want to give this?
I don't know what's bad or worse. Is it like judging by like the house, or is it judging by the person or the character of the purchase? Like, this is what we got to figure out.
I think, like many Arbitrary Scales we do on Audio Face, we do it because the review stands on itself, and whatever we make this scale is not supposed to make any sense whatsoever. But I do think there should be somewhat of a scale since we're comparing these albums to each other in this episode. I think it's somewhat like a, you know, a house is a home kind of thing. The person makes it to some extent, and the person's ill-gotten gains may or not make it. So I'm going to give this the Rave Dubin.
I was literally going to say the same thing. I'm going to give this to Rave Dubin because I feel like Jack is just a stumbling idiot everywhere, you know, just like rocking around walls, be like, Williamson doesn't seem to like me and all that stuff. So,
oh, listen, Lorde, I've been working really hard in the basement. I've come up with some really good high level important ideas for your next album.
Maybe you should listen to this folklore track I made for Taylor Swift, and maybe you'd like it too, you know?
Here, yeah. What if Jordan Peterson were on this album? Just to, you know, just like a quick, you know, like afterwards.
Maybe get some self-help into your album, you know? It may help.
You know, I think nothing is more empowering than crabs. Okay. We have too much fun on this podcast. Okay.
Oh man.
Moving on to less fun. Lizzo, since releasing, you know, almost predictably, it fucking sucks, but like since releasing Rumors of featuring course. Cardi B.
Fucking incels.
Just like Lizzo exists and then like incels, men with like no lives, no class, whatever, just like rush to the internet, typing out on their thumbs whatever they can say about like her weight, her size, whatever. And so Facebook, Instagram, a lot of other websites had to drop the banhammer real quick for people who are just like repeatedly taking the time out of their days to comment on Lizzo's appearance. And like, yo, like Candy Crush exists. I don't know. There's just so many other different things you can do with your time.
I just don't understand. Like, what? I didn't know it was this bad until you sent the story earlier, when I read it earlier today. And I go, what the hell? I go, why are people just ragging on her? Like, there's not, wow, just people fucking suck.
Like, unfortunately, it comes when you're like,
I mean, actually, when you're African American female artist, like, that's a whole thing in itself already. Because look at, you already have instances with Cardi B, with Meg Thee Stallion, with a bunch of things that's just this year. When you go throughout history, there's just an absurd amount of stuff that gets said about these amazing artists too.
Yeah. And especially for trailblazing artists who are like often marginalized, like we talk about Lil Nas X this year and all of the blowback he gets, like just for his sexuality. And we talk about, like, with Lizzo especially, all of the stuff she's talking about, because she's not just being like herself, but like really owning her size and being, I'm going to be incredibly sexy in ways that are like other skinny women do. And then like oftentimes obnoxious fashion. And we all just kind of go, okay, that's just as it is. But for some reason, people get like a visceral reaction when Lizzo does it. And Lizzo's doing that in a purposeful and a subversive manner to get people to assess like, okay, why do I have this like inherent sort of like feeling around like people with like larger people? Like, what is this like thing going on inside of my head here? Like, that's something you want to, like, you shout out Lizzo for, but like, unfortunately, it's when you're a trailblazer in this kind of way, you open yourself up to a lot of these attacks. Not to excuse these, but it's like, it's the unfortunate reality. And so like, it's shout out to her for like, she's really honest about these things. She said in an Instagram live session, like, on the days where I should feel the happiest, I just feel so down. Sometimes it feels like the world don't love me back. And like, I fucking hate that for her. Like, that's terrible, because she's really well accomplished, celebrated. Like, yeah, it's her accomplishments and her like pretty good music, by the way. And like, we talked about how she's incorporating like jazz and classical music flourishes into like a modern song in a really nice way. It's a shame that she can't just like celebrate that just because of other people who frankly don't have lives.
They don't have lives. They're jealous. They're afraid of their own self. You know, they don't want to look into themselves, and they try to blame it on other people or this or that, or make fun of people because they're their own self-conscious.
Yeah. I doubt a lot of these people are lookers just, either. Like, people
God,
like,
no. What the fuck?
like
never.
Not some hierarchy, like, you must have six-pack abs in order to fat shame. Like, it's not how this works at all. It's not great in any context, right? But, like, I just don't get the audacity of some of these people. But, yeah, it's like these bullies just, like, enjoy doing this on the internet for fun. It's like a pastime to separate them from their sad lives, which is not to dig on them. It's more of, like, a class analysis that we should be getting people out of living sad lives where they feel like having to manifest that is to, you know, be mean on the internet. Hashtag no politics.
Seriously. But Jungle released an album.
Jungle did release an album.
It is Loving in Stereo. It is 14 songs, 40 minutes long. Finally get to jump into this album. I've had a lot of people talk about it, so that, and finally get to dive into it. I really like this album. God damn. So I heard, what track was it? Was it maybe Keep Moving?
Keep Moving was like, it's the second song on the album. It's like the lead single. We may have also done it as a audio face single as well.
I think so. Keep Moving, I've heard a lot actually in like video game soundtracks or other things that I've heard it in and stuff, and I really like it as like a fun popular song that to me won't get overplayed, if that makes any sense. Because like, you can hear a song and be like, okay, that's gonna be like, example, I am Happy from Noted Vampire Pharrell Williams. Like, you're gonna, okay, that's just, it's a decent track, but that's gonna get annoying real fast.
I got flashbacks to like sitting in, or being in like the longest non-moving lines of my life with like Happy playing in the background at like stores and like just bad queue experiences.
I think it played when I got my passport last year in a random postal service I went to, and there was like three people, and two of them were workers. One of them was myself, and Happy came on, and I was like, this is the worst thing ever, but thankfully there's not a line.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off with your explanation.
No, it's all good. Fantastic. It starts off a little prelude track, minute 20 long, nothing special. But anyways, it goes into Keep Moving, which their lead single, just really great track to suck you into this record of, okay, this is going to be almost like a celebration record, if that makes sense, where it's just like, you want to get up and move, you want to have fun, you want to
It's funky, it's groovy.
Lose your mind. Exactly. And as Dan likes to prove over and over again, funk is back, and fuck, yes, it is. It really is. All the time right after that, you have a great, like, fun, fast drum on here. The bass is really cool. So you're adding, like, almost like a Foster the People style, like old Foster People, like 2011, 2010 style indie beat. But then you mix that with funk and some other fun beats in there, and you make this gorgeous track, which I thought was very interesting to hear, because I haven't really heard too many stuff like this, at least not recently. So great track. After that, you get into Romeo featuring Bass, which might be my favorite track. Like a cube of sugar in a pool of water that you will dissolve. Has so much to prove. Run away with all, so you got nowhere at all.
I never seen this type of glow. Look at the seed I plan to grow. I think they need to add a feed. We don't want to be the status quo. Plot twist, a plot twist. Let's talk about some progress. And
it's W goodness. It's W goodness.
Just, I listen to this shit on repeat for like a week. I hope you know this. Really, really enjoyed this track. I can't say anything.
But because this, because this album came out, a week or so ago, I've been able to listen to it beforehand. And yeah, I've just been honestly like, I can just play this thing all the way through, like on a drive. Like, this motivates me to just like want to just go outside and drive, but I have so much work to do. Like, it's just such a really just bopping song. And it goes to like, it fits nicely in an album that within its sort of like, you know, funk motifs, it still manages to go into different vibes and different levels, kind of the opposite of what some other albums we talked about this week did, while still being able to maintain a sort of sound. Like, that's definitely jungle. It's what they're doing. It's not Silk Sonic. This is jungle.
No.
Yeah. Although inevitably someone's going to make that comparison because this is the society we live in.
Exactly. They're two separate things. But anyways, like, I really like the pacing of this record. After Romeo, you get Lifting You, which I think is a good, like, a slower-ish track. It's still not, like, terribly slow in there, but it gets you a little bit less, like, less sweating on the dance floor, and you can get back, you can put a towel on your face and grab a drink at the bar and chill a little bit, and, like, and then go back onto the floor, you know?
Yeah, it is very, very, well, like, spaced, let's say.
Yeah, exactly. Get the middle album, Bonnie Hill, Fire, two really good tracks. I like Fire a lot as well. Talk About It's another like track I really enjoyed. It's like accumulation of like all of the sound that they want to put into this record. Like, Talk About It is a good track if you're people are trying to ask you if you want to have like one song to represent the album. I think that's a good track to get you an idea of everything.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dan?
Just going through the whole album is just so pleasurable. Talk About It does like a really, I think, good compliment to Keep Moving, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where like it's a fast paced song, but it almost has like this like early 2000s alternative groove that's also like coming back, especially with the drums and the way it works.
Yeah.
It's really just like fun. I like the like high vocals kind of in the background, kind of just continuing the talk about it thing. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. Just the instrumentation here is just so immaculate. It's albums like this just make me appreciate music in general, let alone just like doing this podcast.
Yeah. Going on a little bit later, like towards the end of the album, I really enjoy how the last four tracks end the album. What do you know about me? It's like, it's a great track. You have this really good kind of like an interlude piece of Just Fly, Don't Worry, even though it's only a minute and 48, but I really like how it like branches into the last two tracks of it. Great how they did that. And you have Goodbye My Love with featuring Preya Raghu, which I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. really good slow down track, because perfect placement on the record as well, because within the bridge of Just Fly, Don't Worry, it gets you towards that end of the album, you know, the day's ending, you know, you already changed your shirt 3 times and now you're getting home, now you're like, finally, I can rip this bitch off and just like chill on the couch, have your last drink and just sit there and just relax a little bit. It's a really great ending. And then Can't Stop
Have a have yourself a glass of wine and think of nice things to say on the internet.
Exactly. And then Can't Stop the Stars is a perfect like conclusion of everything as well. Like, it gets you all of that, all of the sounds in the record, but ends it and it just lands that plane smoothly. The pilot doesn't have to say anything, the luggage shouldn't come out, and no passengers had to be restrained by duct tape. So, you know, it was a good day.
Yeah. It's nice and upbeat. You can like sort of snap to it. It's really like nice finish.
But it's not overly upbeat either, because you don't want something that's gonna be like, you don't want to talk about it as the last track, because you're like, that's a little too much sauce. So it's really good for that, like that last dance.
Credits music. It's really nice credits music. Yes. Exactly. Immaculate construction is what I would call this album. It's just well done. Well
amazing.
Executed.
This is when I listened to this, the first time I listened through, I'm like, wow, this is on my top albums of the year. I haven't really thought about it that much this year until listening to this record of, wow, okay, this blew me out of the water. Because there have been a lot of great records for like personally that I've really enjoyed, but there hasn't been anything where I just sit there and go, that super stands out to me until this record. Right. So very, very fun.
Arbitrary Scale, my former co-workers Bodes. I'm giving this the Demi Jour.
Oh, all right. Okay, I'm not gonna say that. I'll save Dan and Peter from doing more editing. I can see this as a Demi Timothy Floor house. Like, I could get on board with it.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, a hill house. It's, you know, all things considered, rather elegant. You got,
because like you go to the valley, which is kind of rough already. Like, you don't want to live in the valley, but like, if you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, got the nice open ceilings. It's a nice little thing.
Yes, could get like some nice patio out for winter when it's not 1,000 degrees outside.
Could get some solar there. Get some solar if he wasn't a sellout. Nice place to park his Prius. Anyway,
please, he's driving Tesla now. Let's just be real.
I know he's driving a Beamer.
Oh, that's right.
He's definitely not driving a Tesla. I'm not gonna get myself into more trouble. Anyways,
don't incriminate yourself. Anything you say would just incriminate you further.
Kanye is obviously in album mode, and like, I didn't really want to talk about this, but he did the most like, I don't know what astrological sign you call this. I don't know like what kind of person this is, but
is Kanye himself an astrological sign? Like, oh, I'm a Taurus, I'm a Capricorn, I'm a Kanye.
So basically, he put 8 people in a group chat, like an iPhone blue bubble group chat, apparently like dissecting what appear to be lyrics from Future and Drake's song Life's Good that were interpreted as a diss. But like, more on that later, honestly. More on that later, because the main event is the message
Kanye,
itself.
You don't work on weekends?
The main event, which is Kanye, like Chick-fil-A, closed on Sundays. Kanye, like Chick-fil-A, doesn't pay their workers on Sundays. Anyways, Kanye West sends this message and has Heath Ledger, right? No,
that's Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
That's the Joaquin Phoenix Joker. Okay, wow, that's amazing. And he goes, I live for this. I've been fucked up by nerd ass jock niggas like you my whole life. You will never recover. I promise you.
God needs a therapist. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, earlier today, earlier like this week, Drake shared his verse on Betrayal, featuring the lines, quote, all these fools I'm beefing that I barely know, 45, 44, burned out, let it go. Ye ain't changing shit for me. It's set in stone. following its release, Yeezy collaborator, Ye collaborator Consequence, Ye ghostwriter Consequence, already thinks that he was taking shots at Ye. And so he says, it's the disrespect from me. Respect my team. It's party time. Like, party time what? Your team can't release a fucking album, dude.
Like, I was saying, like, I can respect you when your fucking album is actually out.
Yeah. Like, come out of the locker room. Quit shaking. Everyone's waiting on you.
Like, I don't like Drake, but Drake's already, like, dunked on you 8 times when he's still tying your shoelaces, dude.
But, like, Pusha T is in this group chat. Drake's in this group chat. Like, this is some... Again,
okay, you know what? Okay, Kanye, do this one thing for me. Just have a group chat of Drake, Pusha T, and yourself, and just say something wild, and then just Bravo TV, watch what happens. Just like set it down and just get your drink and some popcorn and just watch what happens.
Annie described this as school shooter mode, Kanye West.
Jesus Christ. That's terrifying. That's horrifying.
Like, this isn't even the message for, like, this isn't even the message you send to, like, the classmates you want to save. This is the ones you send, like, I'm definitely shooting your asses.
It's like, no,
this
no,
is
no,
evidence, like, and I want it to be as such.
Exactly. And if you ain't at school, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house.
And if you don't know, now you know. Okay, so the life's good part of it, because I promise we get to that. So part of the bubble is kind of cut off, but an interpretation is where it says, wear my green watch. I want you to make my diamonds do before the message cuts off. But based on the top sliver of the line, the text is visible. The final word could be backflips, which would be a reference to Drake's lyrics. Yeah. Yeah. Virgil got that paddock on my wrist going nuts. Virgil got my paddock on my wrist doing front flips.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all Drake related. Remember the Drake Pusha T, you're having a child thing. Like, it's this is all.
Hey, pay your child support, Drake.
My favorite meme of the week. Pusha T bullying Drake into fatherhood was kind of awesome. But
it's my favorite rap beef of all time.
My favorite meme of the week is that meme of The Office with everyone doing like the Mexican standoff, like triangle pointer guns at each other, and it's like Kanye, Drake, and Kendrick waiting for each other to drop albums. Because I was telling Annie that if this was the week that Lord Drake and Kanye dropped at the same time, she'd be the third guest, and it'd be a goddamn big bonanza.
That would be wild. There'd be lots of bleeps in there.
Yeah. But that would have to be like a No Chill Island by default, and there's no way I'd be able to do that in PowerPoint at the same time. Nevertheless, that is the Kanye corner here. Westworld,
we have the Disclosure corner. We have Indulgement Island. We have Never Enough EP, 10 songs, 45 minutes long. But I mean, kind of, because there's two discs, but the second disc is just edits. So there's five tracks on it.
Yeah.
And
my opinion?
Yeah, have at it. Really? He said eh.
What's supposed to mean? I just said eh. I showed someone that Boondocks episode and it was good.
That was beautiful. I can get on board with that for two things. One, it's an EP, so they like to explore a little bit on the EPs and stuff on Disclosure. Like, they've naturally done that. Like, never forget Bane that when we both go, what in the Jesus Lord's name are they doing, desecrating the Lord's name with Bane that, but then eventually we ended up really enjoying that track. But after their 2020 record, I can't think of it off the top of my head, with that kind of reinventing their sound a little bit, because they've been around for a while within like the Disclosure lore, there's been lots of different sounds throughout there, a couple records. Never Enough kind of reverts back to an older-ish sound, but mixing an older-ish sound with their newer sound, and it seems awkward for a couple of tracks. A couple other tracks are fantastic, but like, example, the opening of Never Enough, it sounds just oddly mixed to me for like how it's like almost like subtle era Disclosure, but then mixing that with their Afrobeats Disclosure. idea for it. But then you have other other ones in here of Happening, which I really like that track and everything, where you can get like that old school, like garage influences, like some old school dubstep influences and stuff in there, which I really like that. So it's just interesting for how to hear it.
I mean, my maybe harsh take is that it feels like Disclosure has these patterns where they release an album and they release some EPs of like essentially throwaway songs from that album era. And then they take a break and then they get back to the drawing board and make some new things. And this feels like those throwaway songs.
I can 100% feel these are throwaway songs, though, because they sound similar to like within the era of their last album release, but it just sounds really awkward.
Yeah. To me, like, yeah, it just sounds like not different enough from Settle to be like a Settle upgrade, not like Settle enough to be like in the first album to be like a decent throwback, like Running was, which is like a pure that era Disclosure that came out, the 2021 VIP remix that I still love all the time.
Never forget Running, because when that first came out in like 2014, I was like, that shit, or
Disclosure bonus for more, Disclosure bonus for more.
Yes.
Bonus episode I'm talking about, you can get wherever on YouTube and podcast and stuff. But the only two songs for me, so like, yeah, In My Arms also did this like a fuller Afro beats thing, and it just wasn't quite working for me. The song to me that I liked the most was Seduction at the end. I feel like, I feel like that's the one where Disclosure are most in their element doing a thing that is, you know, like, because the reason why I go towards this throwaway thing is because, they have a pattern of doing this. But there's also like the Moonlight EP, for example.
Yes.
There's Moog for Love EP, which were like all these things. I think all these things, those past EPs were better than this, I'll say.
Moog for Love was a fantastic EP.
Yeah.
You had Boss, and then the others track too. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but they were good EPs for songs that didn't fit on.
Feel Like I Do.
Yeah, I Feel Like I Do. There we go. Feel Like I Do, Boss, and I think there's one other one, but like those didn't fit necessarily on that record, but they were all fantastic tracks on their own. To me, these are unfinished ideas or ideas that just didn't necessarily work out. But Seduction and Happening are the two that I actually enjoyed a bit, where like it can give me that throwbacky sound, and you can take these sounds and explore more options on there. They're just not complete.
Yeah.
It's more of like you did this as like a rough school project, or a Dan trying to finish the episode 200 audio face song, and you're just like, oh, okay, you know, you get it out here, put it up. Complain.
But actually, the...
By the way, side note, if you put a fucking melodica on our goddamn theme, I'm firing you.
I don't have the I mean I actually do have the equipment, I just don't have the, well, now you gave me the idea, so now I'm
oh,
so
okay, side note, I would laugh my ass off if you actually put like one tiny like note of it in there. I would just holler. But anyways,
the original audio face jingle, like episodes 1 through 50, was just like, yeah, it had the melodica in it, and I took it out actually because it annoyed me in editing. So I actually don't think it'll be coming back, but back to Disclosure, I want to say that it, in those like other EPs you expressed, those very much felt like, yeah, EPs from that era, like Sean was saying earlier. And this feels era-less in that way, and not like in a good way. It just kind of feels like it's lost.
No, it's awkward.
The point to that is, I'm not necessarily expecting this to be an example of, okay, what's Disclosure got next? Because they only just released their album last year, again, this time last year. So they're still pretty fresh off that. They haven't even really gotten a chance to tour it for external reasons, let's say.
Multitudes of reasons.
Yeah. But so I'm not expecting like a full, oh, their sound has radically changed from this. But I'm expecting like some direction, some purpose. This is just like, you know, a collection of songs, which again, like at least they're doing a collection of songs as in random EP. They're like, hey, here's literally a collection of songs. It's not like a drop or whatever, but like, yeah, we're doing this to kind of like to indulge ourselves. We are often very critical with artists we do enjoy. And so there's that. Yeah.
But the nice thing of have them releasing releasing these is it gives other people opportunities to remix these tracks. Like you can remix and like put Seduction in different like house beats and stuff or different house mixes and make it sound amazing. By itself and all these tracks by himself, they're okay. But if you give it in the hands of somebody else, then you can be like, oh wow, you can make it sound amazing. So I think that's kind of cool in that regard, but especially with Disclosure, because a lot of like underground artists or a lot of DJs and stuff do use a lot of Disclosure. Like Scream uses some Disclosure tracks and stuff to mix in with other things. It'd be interesting to see what other people do with it. I'll report back on my findings if that does happen, which I hope it does.
That's true. Arbitrary scales we do on every episode of Audio Face because actual rating scales don't really matter at all. And what we said in the review is what actually matters. Damn it, bro. I'm saying it because I'm already talking like him anyways. This is going to be Hassan Piker's house in Hollywood. It's honestly really bland, really boxy looking. I would say he has no taste, but I also know what he cooks for dinner. And so that's absolutely true. Overall, I'm glad for him. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's got a good house. And I hope he enjoys at least 6 seconds of peace and quiet without some news outlet covering every waking movement that he makes. And this has been The Breakdown.
Hassan up. I am Hassan Piker, and this has been The Breakdown. Dun, dun,
dun. Triggered. Oh, God. Hassan and Francis and Rick, and also the folks who edited those videos, like Alex and Hank.
Bless their hearts.
We're all traumatized. So, holy cursed. Anyways, you're going to that house too?
What?
You're going
to that house? I'm definitely going to that house just because of how awkwardly shaped it is. just because when I first saw it, I'm like, that's a really interesting design, but you were in WeHo, so like there's no space to make shit. So
yeah. I love how they tried to make he's Turkish. It's Mediterranean style. That was just the most happy shit like ever.
Who's saying that?
I fucking the website dirt.com.
Oh, did it say that? That's amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing.
The apparently they're like on TYT House Watch, so I need to be very careful when I make my next moves.
Yeah, I gotta say, because they got everybody's on their dogs, so they got articles and articles on them. You gotta be careful.
You know I would have made it with like dirt.com. Noted online socialist Dan from the internet purchases luxury vehicle. I don't know.
Highly profile European vehicle.
I wish it were European at this point. It's the first time I've ever said that. Moving on, quick hits.
You would have it a year like myself.
Quick hits. TikTok. Radio. For those of you who use Sirius XM, there's a TikTok radio.
Because it's in my highly profile European vehicle that was delivered to me. I wreck it by a Sirius.
I fucking hate how a basketball player gave you a smoother car buying experience than the fifth largest auto manufacturer in the world.
Some random Italians and a basketball player, make of that what you will. This gives me a smoother transaction. It took 12 hours.
I'll almost pay more to just not talk to anyone during the whole thing and just like, listen, I'll take a markup, just no words. No words.
One day I'm gonna make that an arbitrary scale.
Okay.
Oh God.
So, right, so TikTok is making a Sirius XM channel. They have it. They have launched it. And it's gonna be on channel 4 of Sirius Radio.
I'm interested to see how this works.
It's supposed to sound like an audible version of the TikTok for You feed, which sounds absolutely schizophrenic because like
don't even know what that is because I don't own TikTok. So.
The For You feed on TikTok is like where the main like thing happens on TikTok where you scroll up and down and see the videos. But like the For You feed, like most people's For You feed sounds like when you give your aux cord to the friend who likes to skip songs all the time, 6 seconds inwards. right? So it's just terrible all the time. So like, I hope that it's not going exactly for that, but they're going to have, you know, hashtag TikTok, hashtag content creators, and hashtag influencers, including Billy Hens, Taylor Cassidy, Kat Haley, DJ Happy Beats, Lamar Dodson, and other people who make me as a 25-year-old feel old. Additionally, they'll also have stars like Normani, Lil Nas X, Ashnikko, and Ed Sheeran on the channel to, you know, launch it, do festivities, etc. So, you know, big thing for SiriusXM, big thing for Talk. Okay, yeah, let me know. This will be Sean's introduction to TikTok, apparently. You'll be going from the millennial angle here. So let us know how that goes.
Yeah, I'm very... God, this... I can't look at this next story without laughing. But side note, yes, I will try that station just because I want to get the schizophrenia and what and try to understand Gen Zs now. Because I'd be like, ah, there we go. Now I understand. But anyways, you know, we like to end Audio Face on a fun note. And it's episode 200, so why the fuck don't we make fun of more fun of Drake while we can? So apparently Drake had COVID-19 and allegedly it made his hair grow weird.
So Drake was trying to explain at one point that he had COVID, like COVID was why his hair grew oddly, and so his hairline was receding backwards, and so he had to like get it cut or whatever,
And that's why he has that stupid heart shape in his hair.
He said it's coming back, don't diss. Like, honestly, I would have respected Drake, I mean, like, not much more, but like a little bit more, if he said that he let his son like play with the Clippers or something, like whatever.
Exactly. Like, own up your mistakes instead of blaming it on COVID for some random reason because you're like, oh man, they didn't like my heart-shaped hair and I'm getting destroyed over it. So, you know, I guess I gotta make up some bullshit about it. So, you know, this is what I do.
Some people died. Other people have receding hairlines at the age of 34. Hey, it's what are we going on here? No offense to yeah. Yeah, like, again, like, no offense to anyone with that happening or whatever, but, like, Drake, just, you're blaming a serious disease that's taken a lot of lives. You can get into the political aspects of that. You don't have to here. You're saying, oh, yeah, my hair's bad because of COVID. Like,
I want to use that joke. You know, next time I have a bad hair day, I'm just going to say COVID. I'm just going to point to it and that's it.
It gets to this Joe Rogan stuff to okay, I can't put this on YouTube anymore, whatever. Rogan stuff where we're like, oh hey man, I was hearing on the news that COVID apparently makes your arm limp, right? Man, like, I don't know, dude. Like, I wanna still be able to use my arm to jack off and shit, right? Cause I don't want COVID for that reason alone, man. Yeah, dude. Did you hear about the erectile stuff? Yeah, bro. I don't want to do like this. We're getting on that levels of, hey man, I heard COVID does this to your nostrils and that to your testicles. Like, what? It's bro science to the max, but it's just so bad. Real beautiful. Fucking embarrassing.
And that has been Audio Face. Thank you for joining us for 200 of these episodes, 200 more, because this is what we do week in, week out. Whether Drake is growing hair or not, we don't care.
Whether Kanye is releasing albums or not, or plotting crimes.
I'm not going to say that. Anyways, you can follow us at Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You could get to the show audioface.show and find us like wherever you get your podcasts from, all that. You go to youtube.com/audioface pod for all of our YouTube clips, which we post almost about daily now, and hop in those comments because now we got a new look and we look more professional, and the screen isn't blocking half our faces, so at least there's that now. You can follow me, SW Suarez, on all the shits if I trust you, and follow Dan at Dan from the internet on Instagram, at Dan from the web on Twitter, whether he trusts you or not. And I will find out how the song sounds because I'm very interested in this year and a half long saga and drama, and there's some lore that goes into this track. I'm sure of it. So, you know, it's a whole thing. And thank you, Organics, for listening. And
we do say it a lot, but we still don't say it enough. Thank you, Organics, for making the show what it is, for continuing to motivate us to do the show and go through all the trials and tribulations of the show. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you. So we'll see you in 201.
And go to our Patreon so we can go buy a house so we can have the content creators house, and we can join the co-worker co-ops.
Solidarity to current affairs. Cheers.